Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you are kicking off again with African football.
Kim, joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, 20 African teams have officially qualified for the final round in the qualifying campaign for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. We'll take a look at all 20 teams going in alphabetical order and how they advanced. We begin with Algeria, the Desert Foxes. Well, they don't just kick sand in the faces of Tanzania. It was almost like a sandstorm, David. 7-0 in the second leg, and they win 9-2 on aggregate. Your thoughts?
Sunday, they just missed equaling the record. The record is an 8-goal victory margin, and it's held by Libya and the Democratic Republic of Congo. I have to admit a little bit of bias as I was watching the closing minutes. I thought, come on, Algeria, score just one more and equal the record. But one must also sympathize with the Tanzanians, who in the first match actually led 2-0, but conceded 2 goals in 3 minutes midway through the second half. So that finished 2-2. But as the Tanzanians made the long flight to North Africa, I don't think in their wildest nightmares they would have imagined they were going to get hit for 7. Tanzania, in fact, have been doing very well indeed of late. They beat Mali in the first round. But sandstorm it was, Sonny, and it began in the very first minute. Yassine Brahimi scored. It was 3-0 by halftime, 7 by the end. 2 goals from Gulab, the Napoli defender, and 2 also from Islam Slimani, the Sporting Lisbon striker. And Slimani scored a brace in the first leg as well. So he's among the leading scorers. He's now got 4 goals from 2 matches. A very impressive win indeed for Algeria.
Burkina Faso, the Stallions beat Benin 2-0, and they win 3-2 on aggregate. Your thoughts on the Burkinabe, David?
There are 18 top 20 sides who have qualified for the third round, and the 2 who haven't, one of them is Burkina Faso. They're currently ranked 22nd in Africa. Their match with Benin was every bit as tight as I predicted on a previous sunny side of sport that it would be. Burkina Faso winning 2-0 in Ouagadougou. They lost the first leg 2-1, so they won that West African derby. A welcome return to the team for Jonathan Pitroipa. He converted a 17th-minute penalty, and then Bertrand Traoré, 20 minutes from the end, scored a second goal. So pretty predictable result for Burkina Faso, but they need to improve, Sonny. A side that haven't really lived up to the expectations of 2013 when they reached the African Cup of Nations final and lost just 1-0 to Nigeria. They also came very close to qualifying for the World Cup of 2014, drew 3-3 with Algeria in a playoff, but lost on the away goal rule. But they've slipped back somewhat since, and hopefully this will be a victory that will give them encouragement.
Cameroon, the indomitable Lions, with one of the proudest World Cup pedigrees of any African team. They draw 0-0 with Niger in Yaoundé. However, they won the series 3-0 on aggregate. Your thoughts on Cameroon, David?
Yes, indeed, Sonny. A rather strange result this, because after winning 3-0 in Miami, you would have certainly expected the indomitable of the Lions go on and win the second leg as well. But Cameroon had a problem, similar to South Africa. We'll come to them later. I think, Sonny, when you're 3 goals up, you've got home advantage, and you know that basically you're through to the next round there. Motivation can be difficult. I know coaches, they talk in the media about the fact that the tie is not over, when privately they know very well indeed that barring a calamity, the tie is indeed over. That said, Cameroon, overall, it's a good victory margin, 3-0. Niger are a combative side, and it's a good start for Alexandra Belinga, the new coach of the Indomitable Lions. Cameroon hold the record for appearances at the World Cup by an African side with 7, and I'm sure they're going to be strong challengers again.
The Cape Verde Islands, the Islanders beat Kenya 2-0. And they win the home and away series 2-1 on aggregate. Your thoughts on Cape Verde, David?
Yeah, this was a close one, Sonny, and I had a chance to watch both matches. And I must say, Cape Verde, ranked 4th in Africa behind Ivory Coast, Algeria, and Ghana, did not look like the side that is the fourth best on the continent. Quite a battle, in fact, to get the better of a Kenyan side who once again shot themselves in the foot. Some of the Kenyan players based overseas, they were not sent their airline tickets, they had to pay for their own. And then there was the normal Kenyan problem of unpaid squad bonuses. And what happened, Sonny, is instead of leaving for the Cape Verde Islands last Saturday to prepare for the second leg, the Kenyans only left on Monday. So they had less than 24 hours to get to the stadium. So a classic case of the Kenyans, once again, through poor administration, scoring an own goal. Nevertheless, they fought hard and they held the Cape Verdeans until the stroke of halftime when Ramos, with a header that was deflected into their net, gave the Cape Verde side a 1-0 lead and tied the match on aggregate. And it was Ramos again, 7 minutes into the second half, a really good goal from a cross who made it 2-0 to Cape Verde. But anxious moments towards the end for the Cape Verdeans because they knew that if the Kenyans scored once, they would go through on the away goal rule. So I think, Sonny, a lot of relieved people on the islands of the Cape Verde, not as convincing a victory as they probably expected against the Kenyans, given the fact there is a gap of 93 places between the two nations on the FIFA world rankings.
Congo-Brazzaville. The Congolese defeat Ethiopia 2-1 at home, and they win 6-4 on aggregate. Your thoughts on Congo-Brazzaville, David?
Congo-Brazzaville, one of the sides to win home and away. They had their 4-3 victory in Addis Ababa, an amazing match. The Congolese trailed, then they went 4-1 up, and then it finished 4-3. And Ethiopia did score first in the second leg, but they needed to score a second goal, but that never came. In fact, it was Inyanga who equalized just after halftime. And then one of the stars of the Congolese Red Devils, TV Bafuma, he scored a second goal. So Congo-Brazzaville 2-1 winners on the day and 6-4 on aggregate. I think their coach, Claude Leroy, will be very happy with the fact that they scored 6 goals in the 2 matches, but will undoubtedly be a little bit concerned at the fact that they conceded 4.
The Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, draws 2-2 with Burundi, but they pull out the series 5-4 on aggregate. Your thoughts on the DRC, David?
Yes, Sonny, they fall into the same position as Cameroon, not doing as well at home as they did away. DR Congo winning 3-2 in Bujumbura, but at home, a last-minute penalty from Abdul Razak gave the Burundians a 2-2 draw. And it sort of confirms for me that the DR Congo, a very erratic, unpredictable side. I mean, they did exceptionally well at the last Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea earlier this year, finishing third behind Ivory Coast and Ghana. That was a really good achievement by the side. But you just never know with the Congolese Lion, and these latest results, winning away and only drawing at home, sort of validate my point of view. DR Congo, at their very best, Sonny, they are probably capable of being one of the 5 African qualifiers for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. But equally, they could finish bottom of their group. They really are they're talented, but they're extremely unpredictable.
Egypt, I remember you telling our VOA listeners, David, it's been a real long time since the Egyptians qualified for a World Cup. They lose the first leg in Chad 1-0, but come back to win at home 4-0 and win the series 4-1 on aggregate. Your thoughts on the Egyptians, David?
Yes, I mean, good point about the long absence of the Egyptians. It's, in fact, 25 years, way back in 1990 when they competed in Italy. And their only other appearance, Sonny, was when you were probably a youngster. It was in 1934. You were just starting your radio show, Sonny.
Yeah, I think I was, David. You're right.
Sonny, as you said, trailing 1-0 from the first leg, but the Egyptians got down to business very quickly indeed in Alexandria. And what was nice is there was a 25,000 crowd, many matches in Egypt. There are no fans allowed at all. Now, this stadium holds 86,000. It's the Borg El Arab Stadium outside Alexandria. But nevertheless, some encouragement for the Pharaohs with that 25,000 crowd. And they saw El Naini and El Said score within the first 10 minutes. And then two goals from Hassan within 5 minutes before halftime had the Faroes 4-1 on aggregate. In the second half, suddenly they clearly took their foot off the accelerator, cruised along, and I'm expecting quite a good challenge by the Egyptians this time. I think it really rankles with them that they've won the Africa Cup of Nations on 7 occasions. That's a record, but only twice have they qualified for the World Cup. So you could say the Faroes are long, long overdue an appearance at the finals, and I think they've very much got their sights on getting to Moscow in 2018.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And David will pick up his World Cup qualifying analysis on Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports with Gabon. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers Jonah Lomu, the powerful New Zealand rugby legend who died early Wednesday of kidney disease at the age of 40. Rugby fans all over the world are mourning the passing of the man described as the sport's first global superstar. Among those paying tribute is New Zealand's Prime Minister, John Key.
This is a guy that's packed an enormous amount in the 40 years, but we've lost far too early. They knew that he had this condition, but he told the doctor not to tell the coaching staff. He didn't want to be cut any slack because he was suffering from this very rare condition that he had. He just had a real affection for the New Zealand people. His proudest and happiest moments actually were when he pulled on the All Black jersey.
New Zealand Prime Minister John Key remembering All Blacks rugby legend Jonah Lomu, who died Wednesday at age 40 of kidney disease. Lomu had been receiving dialysis treatments during his recent visit to Britain, where he was heavily involved in promotional work for the 2015 Rugby World Cup. Lomu saw